Today on Fellowship in the Word, Pastor Bill Gebhardt challenges you to become a fully functioning follower of Jesus Christ.
Praise Yahweh, praise Yahweh, praise Yahweh. That's what you hear over and over again. And that's how he starts it out. 43 times in Psalm 145 to 150 is praise the Lord, praise. It's an amazing thing. There's as many times to praise the Lord in the last five Psalms as there is in the entire Old Testament. That's how important this is to God. And so what we see in Psalm 150 in this little Psalm, six verses, it tells us where to praise, why to praise, when to praise, how to praise, and who does the praising. Tells us all those things in six verses.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of Fellowship in the Word with Pastor Bill Gebhardt. Fellowship in the Word is the radio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, located in Metairie, Louisiana. Let's join Pastor Bill Gebhardt now as once again he shows us how God's Word meets our world.
Neil Postman is a critic and a communications theorist out of New York City. He's written a lot of different books. And he wrote something not long ago that he was very concerned about TV commercials in the United States. And one of the examples he used, he said, for example, Hebrew National Frankfurter, they pushed their product on television by saying, we have to answer to a higher authority. And Postman said, the implication of that is that God is in their kitchen overseeing the production of their kosher hot dogs. He said, what we're talking about is not blasphemy, but a trivialization of God, of which he said there can be no laws. He goes on and he writes that TV commercials are not concerned anymore with the nature of their products, but the nature of the people who consume them. He said that's why they show images of famous people, beautiful people. He said serene lakes, majestic mountains, elegant dinner parties, happy families in minivans going to the country for a picnic. He said none of these things tell you one thing about their product. He said the business of business is psychotherapy. The consumer, the patient, is reassured by short psychodramas. He points out another example. He said the I Love You Man beer commercials never even mentioned beer. He said what it comes down to, it comes down to our fantasies and our longings and our wishes. But it trivializes their product. Now, you might be thinking, well, that's kind of interesting, but what's that have to do with church? I think plenty. I think like the advertisers, the American church is not into blasphemy, but we are in to clearly trivialize God. We don't deny the Trinity or original sin or the atonement of Jesus Christ. We just trivialize God. The emphasis today is not on the greatness of our God, but on our desires, our longings, our felt needs. That's why so many Americans go to church. His will and his work and his character is not a major issue to us. We have become consumer-driven, a consumer-driven faith, and an anthrocentric faith. And we have trivialized God. Michael Horton wrote an article stating that this trivialization has gone unchallenged by evangelicals. One example he used is you can go into a Christian bookstore and there are t-shirts being sold there that say, this blood's for you. He said it's printed over a mock beer can on the shirt. That's trivialization of God. He says much of the music that we sing are just ditties of, he said, that bear a striking familiarity to the commercial jingles on television. He said, it's with so many other useless products that we buy because of clever advertising and smooth, caressing images. He said, but before long, we become bored with a trivialized deity. We move on like the consumers did in John 6, who followed Jesus after he gave them a free lunch. But then as soon as he began to teach them the hard doctrine of what it means to be his disciple, they left him with growling stomachs. John MacArthur says this. He said, if you trivialize God, if you trivialize scripture, you're going to trivialize the congregation of bored people. Bored with a trivialized deity who are short-term looking for the next thrill. He said how absolutely and utterly contrary this is to what the Bible teaches us about worship. The focus of worship is never on the worshiper. The focus of worship is never on the worshiper. It is on the one being worshiped. It's never on the consumer. We cannot gear our message toward you. We must gear it toward God. He must be the focus of everything, of what we say and what we preach and what we sing and what we play. Must all the focus be on God and his marvelous work and his will? My wife gave me a quote some time ago that I thought was just totally addressed to this issue. It was by Francis Chan, a situation that he found him in, a pastor in California. And he said after church, one of the people in his church come up to him and said, I really didn't like worship today. And Chan said, that's okay. We weren't worshiping you. You know, that's funny, but it's not. Because that's the way we think about things. This is about me. An anthrocentric faith. You see, how important, I'm not sure you know this, how important is worship to God? Remember the story of Jesus and the woman at the well? And he's talking to the Samaritan woman, and she said, you know, we think we should worship here in Mount Gerizim, and you people, you Jews think you should worship in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, look, the Jews are right. You know, he just pushes her aside. He said, but let me tell you something. The day is coming, it won't matter where you worship. You have to worship in spirit and truth. And then he makes this incredible statement. He says, for such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. There are not many things in the Word of God that God seeks. He seeks worshipers. You see, you don't even see that God is seeking missionaries. You see, God is seeking teachers. He's seeking people who worship him. That's what he seeks. That's how important this all is to God. If it's that important to him, how did we make this so trivial to us? What have we done? How do we worship? I want to look at one little psalm today, Psalm 150. Psalm 150, the last psalm in the Psalter. It has a lot to say to us. The book of Psalms is an interesting book. As you know, because you're going to 150, there are 150 psalms. That's a lot. And you might think that every psalm just stands on its own. Each one just stands by itself. And in a sense, it does. But in another sense, it's bigger than that. Because whenever the book of Psalms begins, a lot of the psalms are what they're called lament psalms. About the sadness of life. How terrible life is. How terrible it feels to be abandoned by God. How awful it is to suffer. And you see that in the beginning of the psalms. In the middle of the psalms begin to change a little bit. And as you get toward the last third of the psalms, they start getting happier and joyful and more joyful. And then in these last five psalms, it all crescendos. And guess what it crescendos in? Worship. It goes from the lament to the joy to the worship. And that's where this psalm is, right at the very end of the psalm. It's a culmination of all those things. Notice it starts out, it says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallel is praise. Luya is Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. That's what you hear over and over again. And that's how he starts it out. 43 times in Psalm 145 to 150 is praise the Lord. Praise. It's an amazing thing. There's as many times to praise the Lord in the last five Psalms as there is in the entire Old Testament. That's how important this is to God. And so what we see in Psalm 150, in this little psalm, six verses, it tells us where to praise, why to praise, when to praise, how to praise, and who does the praising. Tells us all those things in six verses. Starts out with where to praise. He said, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty expanse. The first thing you see is he says, praise him in his sanctuary. What does the psalmist mean by that? He means the temple. The psalmist means that we praise God in the temple. That's how we do it. Israel didn't always worship. They went into synagogues. They were taught there on a weekly basis. But during their festivals, their feasts, their offerings, they went to Jerusalem and they went into the temple. And that's where they were praising God. Now, before I go any further, though, I saw a lot of commentators and pastors over the week that I studied this passage and said, and that was their, that's them, that was their sanctuary, and now he's talking about our sanctuary. That is not true. Now, there's going to apply to our sanctuary, but it's not the interpretation. Remember what the Apostle Paul said? The temple was where the Shekinah glory of God dwelled. Right? If you wanted to meet God, you met him in the temple. He was in the Holy of Holies. See, that was the imagery. Now, where does the Holy Spirit of God dwell? In you, in me. Paul said, don't you know that you're the temple of God? So the worship he's talking about interpretively is inside of me. It's what's inside me. It's my heart, my soulish nature. Do I worship God on the inside? Do I praise God on the inside? Now, there's no question that there's an application here to something a little bit more than that. And that is that he also says when there's a gathering of God's people. You see, when there's a gathering of God's people, we have communal, community worship. We worship God together. And that's an important part of worship for all of us. He says, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary. And then he says, and praise him in his mighty expanse. He goes from the sanctuary to the mighty expanse. Because the sanctuary is our assembledness. I don't know if you know this, but what's the priority when we come together as a church? It's just worshiping God. It's praising him. That's our priority. I don't think some of you think that way. You see, I think some of the times we end up trivializing God without knowing it. I've actually had people, you know, that feel on a regular basis that, look, I don't even have to come for the first 20 minutes. That's just warm up, empty stuff. I come here for the message. Let me tell you, if you do that, you trivialize God. That's what you're doing. I don't care about worshiping him. I care about me, my needs. Listen, the reason that I preach the word of God, as strange as this sounds, is so that you will praise God more. You see, the reason I teach you about who Jesus Christ is and what he's done is so that you know him better, so you will praise him more. That's what this is about. God is seeking worshipers. That's important to God. And it's become not important to us. It's what do I get out of this? What can I do for this? That's not at all what the word of God says. The writer of Hebrews said, do not forsake the assembly of yourselves together. I get people to tell me something, you know, I don't have to be in church to worship God. I get that. We can worship him anywhere. We'll talk about that in a minute. But as I can worship him fishing, I can worship him on the golf course, depending on when I shoot. I can worship God. I don't need to be in the assembly. You do. You need to be with God's saints. We need to offer up communal praise to God. It's a very important part of our spiritual lives. And it's a very important thing to God. You see, this is something we're doing, that we are offering up to Him our praise, our worship. We go directly to God with all of this. Now, what's interesting about it is, he says, praise Him in His mighty expanse. Wow. What's that? Everything. Everywhere. His mighty expanse in heaven, on earth, in creation. He said, praise Him in the sanctuary, but praise Him in the mighty expanse. Look at Psalm 148. You want to see this in action. Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His host. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all the stars of light. Praise Him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which will not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth. Sea monsters and all the deeps, fire and hail and snow and clouds and stormy wind, fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and winged fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all the judges of the earth, both young men, virgins, old men, children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and He has lifted up a horn for His people. Praise for all His godly ones, even the sons of Israel, the people near to Him. Praise the Lord. That's a praise song. Everything is praising Him. Everything He created. And the reason is, the reason the Creator created a creation is so that the creation would praise Him. And God says all the time, all creation praises Me. And the only part of creation that has a choice in the matter are people just like you and me. You can choose to praise Him or not. You see, and that's really the problem. But we're the people, as He says here, the people nearest to Him. We should be abundantly full of praise. It's amazing what He says here. Notice in 149, the first verse, He said, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, and pray in His praise, He said, in the congregation of the godly ones. Sing to the Lord a new song. Wow. Verse 2 of 146. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Verse 147. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. It is pleasant, and praise is becoming. Don't miss what God's saying there. How do I praise the Lord? Sing. I don't like to sing. You better get used to it. You're going to be singing for a long, 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 long time. God wants that. He said, sing a new song to Me. Sing to Me. You see, sing to Me. That's very important to God. You have no idea how important. You see, it's not a matter. We don't put music in the service so we can fill the time. That's not what this is. But I think some people think that way. You see, and when you think that way, you trivialize God. You see, you should be singing. That's very, very important. We became sensitive to this even more so. We have guys who stand at the doors. You see, we stand them at the doors. And I've told them now that when you stand at the doors, after the first two songs, come in. You come in later than that. First of all, that trivializes God. But secondly, find your own seat. And the reason I say that is simply because those people should be worshiping God. That's the point. We sing praises to God. This is about Him. This isn't about us or my needs. And so He says, look, sing. But it goes further. Look at verse 5 of 149. He says, let the godly ones exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. I have a good question for you. When's the last time you sang for joy on your bed? to God. Be honest with yourself. Do you know anywhere in the world where you have more solitude than you do in your bed? I mean, that's the ultimate place of solitude, right? God says, yeah, sing praises to me there. You see how important this is to God? You see, that's the whole point. Where do I praise God? Everywhere. You praise him everywhere. If I praise him on my bed, I praise him in my car. You see, and I praise him with the church. And it's the individual praise that I have in worship of God that we come together and celebrate as a community and do it together. That's why I've said in the past, if you don't bring worship with you, you're not worshiping. It should be after a week of worshiping God and experience the greatness and closeness of God in your life that we come together collectively now and we celebrate that and praise to God. It's got to be the way we feel. It's got to be authentic. It's got to be right. It's got to be real. The where is everywhere. When he talks about our beds, the when is all the time. It's all the time. Now, notice he goes into the why of worship in verse 2. He said, praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. The two things to praise God for. The first thing is all the things he's done. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Look at 146 and verse 6. Notice what the psalmist does here. He's talking about the Lord is God, and he said, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the strangers. He said he supports the fatherless and the widow. But he thwarts the way of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. One of the great ways we can worship God is, do you ever recite to God what he's done? Not just what he's even done in your life, but what he's done in everybody's life. From creation on. Understand who God is and all the things that God has done for us. See, that's got to be the content of our songs and our prayers. The possibilities here are endless. God says, yeah, I'd love to hear that. I love it when you do that. But he says, praise him for his mighty deeds and praise him according to his excellent greatness. That's his character. He loves for you and I to praise him for his greatness of his character. Thank you, God, that you're sovereign. Thank you that you're omnipotent, you're omniscient, you're omnipresent. Thank you for your power and your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your holiness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your justice. Thank you for your love. You can go on and on and on, and we should. We should thank God for what he's done and who he is. It's at the very, very heart of worship. Where we worship, everywhere. When do we praise? We praise him all the time. What do we praise him for? Because of who he is and what he's done.
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Gephardt on the radio ministry of Fellowship in the Word. If you ever miss one of our broadcasts, or maybe you would just like to listen to the message one more time, remember that you can go to a great website called oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com, and you can listen to Fellowship in the Word online. At that website, you will find not only today's broadcast, but also many of our previous audio programs as well. At Fellowship in the Word, we are thankful for those who financially support our ministry and make this broadcast possible. We ask all of our listeners to prayerfully consider how you might help this radio ministry continue its broadcast on this radio station by supporting us monthly or with just a one-time gift. Support for our ministry can be sent to Fellowship in the Word, 4600 Clearview Parkway, Metairie, Louisiana, 7006. If you would be interested in hearing today's message in its original format, That is, as a sermon that Pastor Bill delivered during a Sunday morning service at Fellowship Bible Church, then you should visit our website, fbcnola.org. That's fbcnola.org. At our website, you will find hundreds of Pastor Bill's sermons. You can browse through our sermon archives to find the sermon series you are looking for, or you can search by title. Once you find the message you are looking for, you can listen online, or if you prefer, you can download the sermon and listen at your own convenience. And remember, you can do all this absolutely free of charge. Once again, our website is fbcnola.org. For Pastor Bill Gebhardt, I'm Jason Gebhardt, thanking you for listening to Fellowship in the Word.